In the name of Jesus Christ, I share my testimony. So I was asked to share either about my process of applying to be a TTP student, or share about why I believe that this is the one true church. So I think considering the theme here, I've tried to amalgamate the two. And in fact, realize that the two actually are not separate, cannot be separated. I think the process that that John went through, or the process that people that come to the church later on in life go through, is the same process that those of us who were born in this church or grew up in this church have to go through as well. And that process is one of seeking to draw near to God, and also to understand who God is, and why is it that we are convicted, or why is it that we believe in what we believe in. And if we don't make that conscious effort to truth seek, even though we are already members, then the faith that we have is only of a certain level and is not necessarily rock solid. So that when challenges come, there can be shaking of our faith, and in some cases, some of us leave the church. So that process is very important. I tried to sum up the process in my mind from kind of, not quite birth, but from young until now. And I put it in these following stages. So the first is brainwashing. And brainwashing is normally associated with negative connotations, but I think you can look at it in a positive way as well. Because if your brain is being washed of filthiness, and you are being washed with the right stuff, and it is of truth, then I'd rather be brainwashed with the truth than be brainwashed with something else or a million other concepts out there in the world. So yes, brainwashing, what I'm saying is that is what I received, is what I just took as something that is true because I was told so. So I guess I never really doubted that fact. But the second stage is reason. So when you get a little bit older, you have to think, well, there must be some logic to this. And so when you look around the church, you think, oh, a lot of people speak in tongues. They've received the Holy Spirit, and surely not all of them are making it up. They can't all be faking it. So there's a little bit of logic there that, okay, there's something to this, even though I've not received it myself. On one instance, when I was probably less than 10, and there was an evangelistic service, and there were some visitors from other churches, actually. And I remember very distinctly that during one of the prayers for the Holy Spirit, I was not praying, opening my eyes, and the person next to me suddenly started speaking in tongues, and I was like, wow, that's Something's here, yeah. So I think little things like that, even though it wasn't first-hand experience at that time, gave me some reasoning or some logic that, yeah, I think there is something here. And then the next stage, of course, is experience, which is my own personal experience of God's protection or God answering my prayers. But I think the most concrete one is receiving the Holy Spirit, because that is the one promise that God has given us that we all will receive. So when you see that you've been taught that you must receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues from young, and one day that happens to you, especially maybe if you've received it later on in life, for me it was after university, so about 22, then perhaps that was even more impacting, that, oh, finally, it's all true. So the next one is the experience. But then I think that's not enough as well. I think it's a very solid foundation, because unless you feel like you've not received the Holy Spirit and you've received something else, but I was pretty clear that I received something good. And the final stage is being able to base your faith on the foundation of the truth, meaning that the Word of God is irresistibly true, so that you can be convicted in the Word of God for yourself, and then for the sake of preaching to others. So that last part, I think, is something that we are all striving for, to be able to explain the Word of God and to let the word of God speak the truth to those who we are trying to preach to, because it is irresistible. So, as I mentioned, I grew up in the church, and those experiences from young, that process was, I guess, enough to keep me rooted, even though my personal journey of faith was not necessarily one that was always close to God. But that understanding of, or that belief in the one true church was always there. And so the stage whereby there was a turning point was after university. And at that time, I began to draw near to God, probably consistently for the first time in my life. So in the past, we would attend convocations, we would attend, do all these things because, you know, it's circumstantial, and you would pray hard during those few days of convocation, but then afterwards, you never keep it up. Well, at least I didn't. But for the first time in my life, I guess I decided to pray and to read the Bible on a daily basis, not loads, just, you know, consistently, with the motive of just drawing near to God and saying to myself that, okay, if this is the truth, then if I pray every day, I read every day, then something good should come out of it. So as I began that new routine, I guess the words of God and the love of God began to stir up my heart to do two things. And these two things are the two things that we are always taught. One is to preach and one is to pastor. So I had a very simple way to approach it. One was to try to preach more, to at least share the gospel with my colleagues, and the second was to care for people in the church. So on one occasion, this was before I found my permanent job, I was doing some part-time work at a restaurant. There was one of the chefs who was having a debate with an atheist during the break time. And so during that break time, it was quite a heated and also quite a dramatic scene of these two people debating the existence of God. And the rest of us were all sat there with our popcorn, watching and really intrigued. And for myself, I was actually very touched by the conviction of the, he was a Muslim, but touched by his conviction in the belief in the existence of God. And so that made me reflect upon my own faith and how much I know about my own faith and how convicted or how able I am to defend what I believe in. So I began to preach to him, and it was during that process of preaching to him that I guess the purpose in life began to be more clear. It was also that time that I had a little thought of maybe this is something that I should do on a full-time basis, but I put that to the back of my mind. So as I mentioned, the other thing that I tried to do was try to look out for people in the church. And during that time, I was not somebody that really spoke to people much. I didn't really care too much about mingling with others. I just went to church, went home, and I was quite happy with my own company. But I saw a brother, an elderly brother, he was sitting by himself, and he always sits by himself. So I thought, okay, Bible teaches me I need to pastor, so let me go and speak to this brother, let me go and care for him. So I went to speak to him, and had a long conversation, and in the end, he encouraged me a lot. My intention was there to try to encourage him, but somehow the conversation just went in a direction whereby he encouraged me concerning receiving the Holy Spirit, because at that time I had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so he asked me, you know, why have you not yet received the Holy Spirit? So I said, you know, I don't know. I've tried really hard. I've prayed really hard in the past. I've cried. I've even fasted. And then so he would say the usual, okay, you need to repent of whatever sins you've committed, you know, ask God for the help. And I said, yeah, I've done all of that. I just can't put my finger on it. So he said to me, why don't you just ask God why you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit? And I'd never thought of even thinking to ask God that question, because, you know, we're always taught God has his timing. But for some reason, when he suggested that struck a chord. And he simply was saying to me, look, you don't understand, but why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask your Heavenly Father why you have not yet received the Holy Spirit? So I think a week or two after, I was lying down in bed, and I began to recall the words of this brother, and I started asking God in my heart. It's not that I was being disrespectful and didn't want to actually kneel down to pray. It was because there was some. My sister was asleep in the same room at that moment in time, because we had visitors. We don't normally stay in the same room. So I was just praying to God in my heart, and I was saying, God, you know, I don't understand why I've not received the Holy Spirit yet. And that question became very burdening in my mind, in my heart, to the point that I started tearing up. You know, to my surprise, I didn't expect to be so emotional about asking God why I have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And to give you an idea of how emotional I was, I actually, my sister woke up because of my cry, and she was like, oh, what is going on here? So I was like, oh, but thank God, that was actually amazing timing for myself and her, our relationship to become very close. Before that, we were not close at all. So God put us in that position. And so basically I explained to her, yeah, I don't know why God hasn't given me the Holy Spirit yet. So obviously she comforted me and said, you know, God has his timing, etc. Same old stuff. So I went downstairs in the morning. So we talked like all night. I went downstairs in the morning as per my newfound routine of, you know, a little bit of prayer in the morning. And in that prayer, my prayer was initially to pray for my sister because she had some worries and some burdens. So that prayer was initially just for her. And as I began to pray, suddenly I heard a sound which sounded like a vibration sound. And at first I was a bit startled and I didn't know, you know, what it was. So I stopped and then there was complete silence. So I thought, okay, I'll continue praying. And then as soon as I continued to say hallelujah, the sound came back. And then so I stopped for a second time. And during this time, actually, apart from hearing this vibrating sound, I also I felt my arms were also vibrating. And you know, sometimes when you're praying really hard, you kind of maybe you vibrate yourself. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, you know, doing this myself. So that's another reason why I stopped twice. But on the third time, when I continued prayer, the sound came back, and then this force moving, vibrating my arms just became very evident. It was just, as soon as I started the prayer, it was a very powerful experience. So I thought, okay, God, if this is from you, then I'll just keep praying. And within a couple of minutes, suddenly I started, my tongue started rolling, the sound disappeared. And in that moment, it was like a light switch that turned on from saying hallelujah very slowly and very carefully, because that was my habit of praying, trying not to mix my words, to suddenly rolling tongues. And I was praying quite loud, so my sister probably woken up again. She came downstairs, and obviously she was in amazement because we had just been talking about me wondering why I've not yet received the Holy Spirit, and then next thing you know, I've received the Holy Spirit. So we started talking, we prayed. And then during one of the conversations, I remember saying to her, oh, it wouldn't be great if we could just go to heaven right now. Because that moment when I received the Holy Spirit, I felt so joyful, so physically light. The closest thing to heaven that I've ever experienced, yeah. It was that joyful, indescribable. So I said to her, it would be great if we could go to heaven right now. I mean, I don't know why I said that. I mean, was it, I want to die now or what? But it was just that joy. So I went back to pray, and I couldn't speak in tongues anymore. And I couldn't figure out at all what was going on. So for the rest of that day, which was a Friday, I continued to just ask God to give me peace, and just to give me peace, because I didn't know what was going on. So the next day was Sabbath day, Saturday. Continued to ask God to give me answers this time. Like, God, I don't understand why you would just, you know, take it away. So during the first Sabbath, the first hymn that was sung is hymn 418. And the content of that hymn is, you cannot find peace or joy unless your all on the altar is laid. And as soon as that hymn was sung, I was very moved by the hymn, to the point that I was tearing up. And every single word, lyric of that hymn cut through my heart. And yes, it reminded me of my thought of wanting to serve God full time. But I think more importantly, that message in the hymn is applicable to all of us as Christians who want to gain true peace and true joy. And the reason why we don't have that is because we haven't offered our whole life to God. God isn't our all, and that's why we'll never gain peace and joy if that's the case. And so when I got that answer through that hymn, that day I spoke in tongues again. And so what I realized was that when I received the Holy Spirit, in my mind was, oh great, I can go to heaven now. But that's not the purpose. That's not the only purpose why God gives us the Holy Spirit. The reason why God gives us the Holy Spirit is to be a witness to the world. Yeah. So when they received the Holy Spirit, they received power, the apostles, and then they were supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's the reason, one of the most important reasons why we receive the Holy Spirit. So when in my mind I thought, oh great, I can go to heaven now, God was basically telling me, well, no, that's not the only reason why you receive the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose for each and every one of us for receiving the Holy Spirit, and that is to be a witness. And the other thing I learned as to why God temporarily took away the Holy Spirit from me is that in the past, yeah, I did pray very hard. I was very genuine. I did cry, but it was only circumstantial. It was only because I was in convocations. It was only because my parents told me to. But this time, what I noticed was that when I decided to draw near to God of my own accord, it was just a matter of a couple of weeks before I received the Holy Spirit. And I think that lesson can also be applied to those of us who are still praying for the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that, you know, the same time frame will apply to you, but the main thing is that are you wanting to draw near to God and love God on a daily basis, not based on circumstances? And I think God sees that and he really appreciates that. So the question that I asked God, God, why have you not given me the Holy Spirit yet, was answered through that experience of giving me the Holy Spirit, then taking it away, and then giving it back to me, to make me understand the reason why we receive the Holy Spirit. So naturally after that, I was very convicted of the one true church, of everything that we've been taught, and I began to, you know, start preaching more. And I think when you begin to preach more, there's two things that can happen. One is that because you come across a lot of different people, different walks of life, be it church, other Christians, or non-Christians, you will then face challenges that you've never maybe thought of, or questions that you've never thought of before. And then there's two ways to go. One is that some of these questions are so difficult to answer, and you don't have the answer to them, that your faith is shaken, and to the extreme, you kind of just, because you can't answer these questions, you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning that you just reject the whole thing. Or the other way is that, no, since I have received the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe this is the evil spirit, I'm pretty sure it's the Holy Spirit, what I've been taught and what everything the church has taught me has been proven by God himself through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And because I believe that, therefore, I know that whatever challenges, whatever questions that people may ask, more often than not, these answers can be found in the Bible and within the church itself. So if you've held fast to the fact that you have had the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, and you know that this is the church that God has decided to choose and to put his Spirit within, then actually you have complete hope and trust that you will be able to find the answers to then further concrete your faith. So for me, the process of preaching since after receiving the Holy Spirit has actually served to further strengthen my faith. It hasn't caused me to doubt or wonder whether we are the true church. Because when you preach, there's two reactions. The first one is that people will believe, and obviously, and then if they receive the Holy Spirit, then your faith is also further enhanced. And the other is that they will reject what you say. And oftentimes I found that when they reject, the reasonings are really clutching at straws, because they've not been able to really just submit to what the word says, and then they come up with some answers that show that they're not willing to. So either way, your faith is strengthened. So, just to conclude, I think the most important thing is that after we've drawn near to God we've received the Holy Spirit. The next thing is that we need to ground our faith on the Word of God itself, so that it's not just, oh, I believe just because it's the tradition of my parents. I believe because I want to, please my parents, or because I'm part of this social setting, or just because I've had certain experiences. I think our faith needs to grow to the extent that it becomes rooted on the very Word of God, so that when we speak the Word of God, people can't refute what we say. And not because of our eloquence or our logic, but because the Word of God speaks for itself. I just want to turn to a verse. In Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Acts chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So this here is talking about Stephen when he was speaking or argue or debating with these people of this synagogue of the freedmen. And here is this, that they were not able to resist. They had no comeback, because what he was able to speak is, of course, by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that was given to him. But back then, they preached using the Word of God as well, because they used the Old Testament scripture, right? So when you look at the way the apostles preached, it was always based on the Word of God, which is, at that time, only the Old Testament scripture. And they were debating probably with loads of other people that were perhaps kind of familiar with it. But because they knew the scripture so well, these people were not able to resist the truth that they spoke. And that is the same place that we need to get to in True Jesus Church. And the exciting thing is that the answers are there. And we just need to refine our understanding and our sharing of these words. And then our faith can then be truly rooted on the truth, something that goes beyond just feeling, beyond just experience, and beyond just tradition. Amen.